Imagine this. You have no fear of what your bank account is saying, and you have no problem looking at it each and every day. It's just as neutral as any other part of your day. When you receive your financial reports from your bookkeeper or accountant, you're comfortable reviewing them on your own. You're able to assess your financial trends and ensure that what you're investing in is getting a return. You're able to pay yourself very well from your business, and what you pay yourself is more than enough to not only cover your monthly expenses, but also you're able to save, invest, and accomplish your immediate lifestyle goals. You naturally trust yourself with your money. Everything will always work out, you say to yourself, and your bank account is an example of this. When things take a turn in business, as they normally do, you have the foresight to keep profit in your business to ride the wave and also pivot whenever necessary. Do you want to learn how to have a better relationship with your money? In this episode, you'll learn why you know how to make money, but somehow don't know how to maintain your money. This is the Harmonious Wealth Podcast, where we're breaking online business owners free from chasing every next revenue milestone and instead prioritizing lifestyle and legacy goals so you can finally have the personal wealth to show for your business success. I'm your host, Ayanna Vaughn, fractional CFO and bookkeeper, here to guide you. Now let's start building your financial legacy. Hey, welcome back to the Harmonious Wealth. But welcome back to Harmonious Wealth, the podcast. So it's a lovely day today. I am on the other side of my cycle. I am ovulating. I am feeling amazing. Today was a sort of random things. I'm literally getting started with recording at 12 noon, and I wanted to start earlier in the morning. However, the girl had to get ready. She had to do her hair. Yes, all the things. I will say my best friend, she had her third baby girl. Well, she has two baby girls, third child, and we were going over her birth story, and I love hearing birth stories, and hers was, parts of it was really heartbreaking. However, God provided her a baby girl who was healthy, and she's healthy, so I'm praying that she continues to heal. So that was great news. So yeah, welcome to another episode. As you see, I have Pam with me. Her name is Pam the Palm. I wanted to kind of incorporate some live flowers or plants. I'm a plant mom. I want to be one when I grow up, but I'm trying my best. But today I want to talk to you about, like, why are you able to make money, but you seem to not know how to maintain it? Before we get in, I do want to announce that we are having an open house on Friday, April 26th, 12 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to be talking about why your revenue means nothing if you don't have your legacy or personal wealth to show for it from your business. So you can sign up at lovelyfinancials.com/open house. So one big mistake that we make when it comes to managing your money and your business is we center money, much how we've been programmed to center men in our lives. We've also been programmed to center money in our life, and whatever is in our bank account, we feel that is what we are worth, and we need to cancel that out. So think of it like this. With the uprise of women transitioning that programming of centering men, right? They're decentering men. What if we did the same with money? We decenter money to get the best results with our money, or change our relationship with our money. Ridding yourself with the obsession of money, the fixation of it, trying to control it, and trying to receive the love that you desperately desired as a child. When you choose to decenter money as, like, the most important thing, you're able to create healthier boundaries for it, and you're able to respond, and you're able to be at peace in every situation. Now, there's, of course, when there's an emergency, that's different, but you're not living your everyday as if it's an emergency. For me, when I started to heal all parts of myself, I first started with God. I centered God, right? And I was able to love myself more, right? And then I'm able to love others more, and then able to serve. And serving others means that I will have to be able to earn a little bit more to serve more or provide a service, and that exchange is a monetary exchange. When you learn to heal parts of yourself, especially your feminine energy, in relationships and with money, you begin to stop the distrust and stop the avoidance and that scarcity mindset that you may have had, and settling for less than what you deserve. So I want to get into like unhealed masculine energy when you're running your business is like controlling, you're competitive, you're making money the center of your business and you're stressing yourself out. You're refreshing your Stripe feed. You're refreshing like your ConvertKit form to see like who's signing up for the leads. You're really desperate in making the next sale, making money in your business versus like, okay, I can trust that when I have this sales call, that if they're a best fit, they would sign up. Also, I'm able to attract others online and bringing more people in that are best suit for me. When you decenter money, you feel more contentment and you know exactly what you have because you know where your money is going and that it's working for you. Again, when I personally started to decenter everything else and center God versus centering money in my business, it allowed me to show up better to team meetings, to client calls, a sales call in a peaceful aura. I went from being like extremely overwhelmed and like desperate and like, how can I help you? And getting all the nitty gritty and like following up. Yes, following up is important, but I was like doing the most. So decentering the expectation of a sale and centering my relationship with God and being imparted confidence in what I have to offer and serve helped me heal my relationship with money and also maintaining it better after I went through spiritual rock bottom. So you have an unhealed or unhealthy relationship with money because there is this poverty mindset loop that you might have experienced, you know, that comes from you not wanting to take risks. You feel like success is temporary, right? And that it's you're not able to replicate what you've done before for your success. And you're thinking that, okay, this is a fluke. What I've earned, I can't do it anymore. Let me just spend it before it's gone. So centering money is not the right approach because you will always be in a perpetual state of placing value on what you have in revenue, profit, and where your cash is at. When you begin to understand that you don't have to beg for money, just like how you don't have to beg for love, you begin to heal your relationship with money. And you can instead understand money. The first reason why you know how to make money but not necessarily maintain it is because of your subconscious mind programming. When you don't get to the root cause of your money mindset issues, drastic income changes create self-sabotage. So when you're used to having about 10K in sales or 10K in cash on hand, and then say towards the end of the year, you get 100K in cash on hand, within a few months, you spend it all because there's no plan on it, right? You just spend exactly what you earn because you're not used to having that amount in your cash on hand or like your bank account. You're mentally comfortable with maintaining no more than five figures in your business in cash, or let's say no more than a certain amount, right? Whatever you're comfortable with in your mind, you will continue to have that in cash on hand at all times. But when you start to expand your mind on how to maintain six figures in cash, you're able to expand how you're able to keep more money into your business. There's a deep down, you might feel like you don't deserve the money that you've acquired in your business. And you may not have healed the root cause of like why that is. And you're always making decisions with the current mindset versus the one with the resolved root. So the root of it, reason number two, is how your parents handled money, how you've seen others in your community spend money. But I'll get deeper into that. But there's a root cause of it. You didn't heal from it. So when you get money that's coming in, it's like, oh, snap. You know, this is a one-time thing. I got this, that, and the third that I got to pay off. Let me just pay it off. And then next thing you know, you're in the same cycle again months later, and then you're just doing a bunch of cash injections in your business and you're running yourself ragged. So you know how to make money, but you also know how to spend it just as well, if not better. It might give you comfort to spend the money because unbeknownst to you, when you spend exactly what you have or more. I like to say when it comes to debt, if you have any issues with debt, we're not using credit cards to leverage at this point. We're using it to survive. So when I have clients who have debt or whenever I've faced debt in the past, it's like, okay, let me just stop using credit cards, handle the debt, and only use credit cards to leverage any points after you've healed through the cause of why you're using debt as a crutch versus debt as leverage in your business and personal. when you spend money for comfort, this may have came from your parents, right? When you were a kid, I don't know about you, but I was told my mom was not related to the electric company. So turn off all the lights. You gotta not touch the AC. Don't touch the heat. Don't touch nothing. Don't waste my food. Eat every single drop of your food because money don't grow on trees, right? So if you heard those things, it's like when you have your own money to spend, it's like, this is my money. I'm gonna spend it how I want. I'm gonna leave the lights on. I'm gonna like that song by Ari Lennox. I just got my new apartment. Was me, okay? I just got my new apartment. I can pay my own rent. Something, something. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. So this keeps you like because you're spending exactly what you have, it keeps you in that threshold of like having just enough or being a little bit behind, but you got it, right? And you're comfortable versus being comfortable living in the surplus. To me, the surplus is like having more than enough in your bank account, having at least a month's worth of expenses in your checking account at all times, having 3 to 6 months of expenses saved in your savings account. And when you buy things, right, like say you buy like toiletries, you don't buy just enough. You buy like just a little bit, not excessive, but a surplus of it. When you live in surplus, you're able to say, okay, you're comfortable, versus when you have just enough, you're always waiting for the ball to drop or always waiting like, okay, something's going to happen. So with that, right, my approach to this is that anxiety that you're feeling of not having enough or being behind, that should not be there for you. So for me, whenever, as of late, I've been reading the Bible, and whenever someone comes to me with like any issues or I come with any issues, I read the Bible and see what does the word say about what I'm experiencing. And whenever I hear someone talk about worrying about money anxiety and an unhealed relationship with money, I think of the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 34, right? Because if you're worrying about so far in the future versus planning for the future, then those are two different things. So when we worry, it causes us to have these false expectations, mishandle our money. So what I like to think of is, again, the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 34 is, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when working with my clients, I'm not going to promise that you're going to go from maybe handling 4 figures in cash on hand in your business to like 6 figures, right? I want you to work best with the money that you have right now in front of you, right? Because who can be trusted with the little can be trusted with a lot. So we want to start with being tactical when it comes to handling your money, right? You have that anxiety. Let's just get you to neutral. So for me, getting you to neutral is just kind of like soberingly or just kind of objectively looking at what's in front of us and us doing it together. So getting tactical for me means we're going to uncover exactly what you need to pay yourself, because 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10, you don't know what you need to pay yourself. So you're always borrowing from your business or putting money back, and then things are just going awry with your cash flow. So when we know exactly what you must pay yourself in the surplus, right? Not excessive, but a surplus, so that you're able to both not only survive, but thrive. That means to me that you're living off of 50% of your take home pay, or we're working towards that. If that is currently at 80% or 90%, we're going to incrementally increase it, right? So that your business doesn't suffer, and so that you're able to establish having more and more cash in your personal bank account. So that means I want you to go from 60 or 70 to eventually living off of half of what you pay yourself, so that the other half can be for doing things that you love. So half of your living expenses is like your fixed costs, your home costs, your bills, things like that. And then the other 50% can be used towards like things that you want to do for yourself, like saving for a vacation, saving, paying off debt, getting aggressive with debt, putting money into your retirement account, your Roth IRA, things like that. so that you're really taking care of yourself from your business. Because I promise you, if you're not paying yourself from your business, I'm sure you already know this, so there's no reason to promise, but if you're not paying yourself what you need from your business, there's going to be a lot of resentment. So yeah, let's try to avoid that. So knowing the tactical, again, neutralizes where you are in your journey. And then we can then work together to shift that mindset to a positive frame of mind for your money so that you can face it and improve it. You're like, okay, we're working towards something and you're building momentum. When we go through uncovering what you must pay yourself, this is through our profit planning intensive. And together we'll uncover your ideal salary and what I like to call the dream life calculator. So the dream life calculator is a spreadsheet that shows like where you are today. And then there's another tab of like where you want to be. So where you are today is like, okay, here's my fixed expenses. Here's what I want to do for pleasure or like things like getting massages, taking care of myself, things like that. And this is what I want to do for wealth building and having enough money to satisfy all of those needs is what I want to do today, like your immediate lifestyle goals. And then the second tab is like when you are like doing your vision board, doing your prayer board, you're able to then quantify that dream life so that you're saying, okay, if I want to buy a home and I want it to look like this, this is what I should be paying in mortgage. This is what I should be paying in my nanny. This is what I should be paying in like my chef or something like that, right? This is what I want to put in my retirement every single month, right? This is what I must pay myself in my dream life in the future versus now. So when we do that together, we're able to see where you are now, where you want to be. And after we get tactical, then we get you to neutral with your money. Then we get to the root cause. You know, is it because of what you've experienced growing up, you know, in tandem, if you do have these deep-rooted money trauma experiences, you should absolutely be seeing a therapist, right? In tandem with working with someone with your finances. I think that's going to be really important. But we can go to the root cause of like, okay, you can say, my grandmother felt controlled by her grandfather. So I made for certain that I would not ever feel this way. Hence why I feel like I'm over controlling with my money. That could be an example. Then we can work on, okay, what if we kind of let it flow? How can we automate your money so that you can know, lead, and automate it so that you can also attract, enjoy, and magnetize it? I'll talk about that more in another episode, but that's kind of how I like to balance my energies when it comes to managing my money and managing my business. So another reason why you know how to make money, but you don't necessarily know how to maintain it is because of the way that you grew up. You may have come from a single family home or your parents together, you know, they worked 2 to 3 jobs and you never saw them complain, right? You knew that they were working extremely hard. They never complained. They worked so much. You got to your home as a child, latchkey kid. You were home making yourself dinner or taking out chicken too late. That's me. I took out the chicken late all the time and I almost got in trouble every time. I did not know how to cook. Ooh, my poor mom. She was working, okay? And they didn't show a lot of emotion about money. They didn't talk about money, but you intuitively knew that they were stressing about it, but they knew how to maintain a home. You never felt like you were missing out because you always had the latest clothes, potentially. And if you didn't have the clothes, then, you know, you felt that difference, right? And you simply just weren't taught. So say on top of having experiences of financial scarcity or having, you know, less money or growing up in poverty, you also were not taught, especially from your parents nor in school. You didn't ask. You just simply didn't ask. They didn't tell. And that led to you figuring out on your own. And when you were able to like grow into adulthood and figure it out on your own, you still didn't know. And you either were on two sides. You were risk tolerant or risk intolerant, both because of fear. And for me, I was risk tolerant, where I was able to take these risks because I just knew bounce right back. And I did, but it was like that was unnecessary drama for myself and I could have set myself up in a better way. So now what I would do with my daughter is I'm going to help her understand money, hopefully, right? My intention is to help her understand money a bit much more, right? Because I do have the knowledge of it, as well as help her get ahead, you know, having I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have the ability to get her ahead, right? And also, her father also helps her, you know, is going to be able to support her. And I didn't have both parents growing up. So already she's ahead of the game, ahead of me, which is ideal. Another thing you do when it comes to like how we were raised is like, we're comparing ourselves with money. We're comparing ourselves and we're over-consuming to overcompensate for how we were raised or how we feel about ourselves. And we're associating our material goods for wealth. I was watching a show on Netflix called Black AF, and they were talking about how culturally, as African Americans, we were dressed to impress for Sunday, for church. And in our minds, if we got to a point where if we looked good, we had some worth. So a lot of times when we are raised, and like I said before, our parents made sure that we looked good so that we were treated good. That in our mind tells us that if we don't look good, we're not worth anything. And it made me think like, wow, that is something that we've experienced. And even before we were slaves in America and different parts of Africa, it's really important for people to show that they are important by how they dress, with like the lavish weddings or like lavish events and things like that. So it's like, where does it stem from that the way that you look creates your worth? And how can we like redefine that for ourselves and take that in and like change it, right? The way that you grew up, and the way that you probably wasn't taught how to maintain your money, or you just want to overcompensate, it hurts you because it causes you to perpetually make money mistakes that are not conducive to creating your dream life. It again builds comparison and even coveting. You know, coveting is like you're wanting what someone else has, right? And you're creating and growing your business on someone else's ideas and mind and someone else's dream versus your higher purpose and your calling. And you're getting out from creating a business to serve others, where that's what a business is. You're actually serving others. You're using your gifts, your resources to help others, to serve others, so that in turn, the exchange is your personal wealth and doing good for society, first and foremost. So my approach with this is, when I think of like, how can we change the narrative, is Romans 12:2. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Is do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So to me, that means like, if I'm not conforming to what I've seen being done, I'm not conforming to what culture tells me is normal, I'm not conforming to those things where I'm comparing myself and coveting what someone else has, but I'm detaching myself from what everyone else is doing, defining my purpose in my life and for my business so that I can serve humanity, serve God's children. And making that connection with your life's purpose and your business is going to be important, because I believe that your business should be, if not first, one of the top vehicles to create personal wealth for your life. It just kind of flows, because it's like, you're getting your calling from God, you're serving others, you're then able to build that personal wealth, but you're also giving back to those in need, you're giving back to the Lord. So it's just like all just a circle of motion, a circle of life, if you will. So with this, you know, it goes into, I want to reiterate like what you must pay yourself, right? And it starts there with a tactical. And then my approach is, after we go to tactical, we go to, okay, how do we plan for your future? A lot of entrepreneurs, we do not plan for our future. We do not plan for retirement. That doesn't even exist. But I'm here to tell you it does exist. You do not want to be 70 working on your business online. You don't. You might be writing a book. You know, that's cute. You might be going on stages, talking to people. That's cute. But really, you're not really going to be working at 70, at 60. Maybe at 55. I don't know. Maybe you might have a new lease on life and you might start something new, start a new project that you absolutely love. That's amazing. But what I like to do is think, I like to have clients think of where they want to be at 60, whether that's another business, where they're writing, where they're going on retreats, hosting retreats, things of that nature. And so that when we have your immediate goals and have your legacy goals, we unpack exactly the why, like what your why is behind your business, so that you can show up in the world as in pursuit of your vision with these exercises of both your immediate lifestyle goals tactically, right? And then your legacy goals, thinking for the future, you're able to unpack your why behind your business. When you don't know your why, the world tells you what your why is, and then it gives you, you'll be in the pursuit of a vision that's not even yours. It'll lead you to be burnt out, overwhelmed, and feeling like you don't measure up to someone else or measure up to success because you haven't really understood what success means for you or haven't defined what it meant or means to you. Okay, so during the Profit Planning Intensive, which is our 12-week coaching service, that's both coaching and like service where we build out your financial systems, help you with your money mindset, help you strategize for financial success. The first thing that we do during our legacy plan, again, is like see where you want to be in retirement. What should your nest egg look like for your family? We get an arbitrary number and then we start working backwards. And then we get into your business to see how it can support the cash needed for your future investments. So just for clarity, I'm not going to tell you what to invest in. I'm not going to tell you what stocks, index funds, anything like that. But my job is to help you have the cash to invest. So again, because they might not have watched episode one. But whenever I think of cash from your business, I like to think of the cash flow quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki. And he talks about the cash flow quadrant just really quickly. First is like you're an employee, you're exchanging your time for money. The second is you're self-employed. So that's like you're a solopreneur or you're a service provider, but you're doing most of the work. And then three is like your business. So when you have a business and your business is providing that service through your processes, your systems, your team, then you're able to then have the cash, excess cash, to go into investor. So investor is the fourth, and that's where your money makes money for you. So just, I'd like to think of where are my clients traveling from so that they can build their personal wealth? Usually it's self-employed to business owner, and that's kind of like where I work with my clients. But sometimes it's like all three, right? Like you're going from employee of your own company and you're just working and you're self-employed. You have your company, but you're not paying yourself what you need to, and you're not having your team to execute on your behalf, and you're still doing the work while struggling to show up on sales calls, struggling to have marketing. I'm saying all that because that's me too. I am her. So the third reason why you know how to make money, but you don't know exactly how to maintain it is because willpower. Let me show you why. So you feel you ain't come this far just to come this far. You came this far on your own and you feel like you can continue on your own. That's your willpower. That is the deception of willpower a lot of times. And it basically, like, up until this point, you weren't interested in looking ahead for your finances because in the essence, you felt like you can figure it out. All the investments in the world, any investments in coaching, programming, delegating to your team is not going to help you if you do not work within your soul. Your willpower alone will not help you reach to the success that you desire. Lean on your higher purpose. I personally lean on God and give him all of my worries. I also work in therapy so that I can get to the root cause and work through the trauma in my childhood and personal life and things of that nature. And you start with a little bit. And again, well, that leads me to say again, what you can be trusted with a little, you can be trusted with a lot. So being a better steward of your money is going to be extremely important when you lean on your higher purpose, not just on your willpower, because your willpower and has your habits. And if you're not changing your habits, you're just going off. You're just going to hit the same exact problem again and again. Working by your own willpower without the support of like your higher purpose or figuring that out, working with your faith, as well as working with the right professional, can potentially keep you stagnant. You've probably seen yourself have the same income. You're in the same income loop again and again, while your cost of living is increasing. The consequence of this is like the consequence of staying on an income level is that when something happens, right, because cost of living has increased, you're going to be in the same place, and then you're playing catch up every single time. So we're here. I wrote in my note. I kept saying the scripture of who can be trusted. So this is where it actually came from. So Luke 16 verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So how you act one way is how you're going to act another way. So money doesn't change you. It just highlights who you are. Either way. What I also like to think about is when we want to think of our future and want to release this willpower or expectation of us getting it done on our own, I like to think of one of my other favorite verses, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That has been a major scripture in my life, and that has helped me really conceptualize, like, how can I release the worry, release the stress, release the past to then lean into God's understanding or lean into God's will versus my own will. So when it comes to your future, we start with their baseline and their stretch goals. So baseline to me is when we work on your dream lifestyle spreadsheet, we have like, you need to make at least this in revenue so that you can pay yourself what you need. One thing that I like to use, D.L. Sharon, she has a concept called undergoal. An undergoal to me is interchangeable with your baseline goal. It's like what you must make or what you've made last year so that you're not wearing yourself out, stretching yourself thin. So when we help our clients create their baseline versus their stretch goal, we help them create that profit plan with two different scenarios. So it lays out what they must do. So not only does it lay out what they must pay themselves, right? It lays out the profit needed to be able to pay themselves and pay off debt if they have it and save in their business. And it also lays out, based off of your revenue goals, more important, when it comes to a profit plan, you're able to have guidelines for your costs in your business. You're then able to have guidelines on what you can spend or can afford to spend for your marketing, what the guideline for your team, guideline for profit, guideline for what you're going to pay yourself and software, everything under the sun. And more important than guidelines is understanding your cash on hand, right? And this is essential because you want to hit all the points when it comes to creating a plan for profit. And when you don't have a profit plan, you're perpetually and potentially staying in the depleted profit loop and the cash flow loop in your business every single year. We go over what should your cash look like on a weekly basis so that you can maintain cash on hand. Mind you, this does not mean that you're going to go from minimal cash on hand to like six figures overnight, but we're going to work with exactly what you have, because it's important for me. For me, cash flow management is an art. It's an art because I have a philosophy of like your different profit centers, which I'll go into another episode, but just for just conciseness, your profit centers are increasing your profit to pay yourself, increasing your profit to tackle your debt, increasing your profit to save, increasing your profit for retirement, increasing your profit to invest. But there's an art engaging when is the right time to do each and every one of those centers or profit focuses so that you can maintain healthy cash on hand for your business. Cash is extremely important. So whenever you work with us as a profit planning intensive client or a CFO client, you get your cash on hand, like you get your cash flow forecast within the first 2 weeks of working with each other. And we'll create that for both your business and your personal. and you'll be able to have a snapshot for every single week for the next 52 weeks. So if you're someone that feels like you don't need this type of support and you can do it on your own, I felt that way too with certain things. While that can be true, I've also realized that the longer that I wait for support, the longer my process for success took. So prolonging getting support with your money can potentially prolong accomplishing your immediate lifestyle goals. And it could also prolong your process of increasing your profit to accomplish your legacy goals. Okay, so now that we went through the episode, what is one insight from today that I shared that's really standing out for you as to why you might be experiencing knowing how to make money, but not necessarily knowing how to maintain it? Let me know in the comments below if you're watching on the YouTube version. So we talked a bit about why you might be experiencing knowing how to make money, but not necessarily knowing how to maintain it. If you're ready to start with the end in mind of your personal finances so that you can understand what your business must earn to avoid you living paycheck to paycheck, or better yet, stripe payout to stripe payout, you need visibility of your personal funds. The Dream Lifestyle Calculator helps you uncover what you need to pay yourself to avoid living on 100% of your take-home pay so that you can thrive, save, invest, and hit your personal legacy goals. Go to lovelyfinancials.com/lifestyle to get started. If you're a woman growing your business and your family and want to heal your relationship with money to build personal wealth and create a legacy, subscribe either on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I'm on a mission to help 100 women reach at least 1 million in net worth to create generational wealth and break generational curses. If this aligns with you, I'd love for you to be a part of this community and tune in to more episodes on Harmonious Wealth. Hey there, girlfriend. If you're ready to finally have the lifestyle and legacy to show for your business success, I would love for you to click that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. Hey there. If you're getting more comfortable with your numbers or have learned something new from what you're hearing on Harmonious Wealth, I would so appreciate it if you left a rating and a review. They make it possible for me to reach more business owners just like you who want to break free of their generational money stories and build a lifestyle and legacy for their family.